So last week, I asked you this question: where do you land more, the divinity of Christ or the humanity of Christ? And how you answer that question really determines how you live out your faith. If you focus more on Jesus' divinity during his 3 years of ministry, during his earthly life, if you see more Jesus as the divine one, then in your mind, subtly, you believe that Jesus is trying to teach you how to be divine. But if you put more focus on the fact that Jesus came and was actually more human than he was divine, that he was depending on the Father just like you and I need to depend on the Father, then actually what he calls us to as children of God is actually more attainable than we could ever imagine. Yes, we need to know Jesus as both divine and human. Divinity communicates that as the divine Son of God, only he could save us from our sin on the cross. But the humanity side of Christ communicates that Jesus is this model for us on how to live the kingdom in the everyday of life. So let me just explain to you, maybe calm some of your concern, is that yes, Jesus now is exalted to the highest place where every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But during Jesus' earthly ministry, he had not yet ascended to the Father, and he was human. He was depending on the Father just like you and I are called to depend on the Father. Let me explain. Philippians 2 says, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God something to cling to grasp. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He gave up his divine privileges, and he took on the very nature of a slave and was born a human being. He humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death. So let me ask you, what does it mean that Christ gave up his divine privileges? What does it mean? During his earthly ministry, what does it mean that he actually gave up his divine privileges? Pardon me? Yeah, so there is something that he forfeited or that he let go of, right? And he came as a human being, right? Yeah, I think we need to ask the question, where was his divinity when he walked the earth? I think oftentimes we interpret this, how we picture it in our mind is just kind of like a super Jesus as a superhero, as Superman. And he kind of moves from Clark Kent to Superman, back and forth. That's how we kind of picture it. That's how we kind of make sense of it. But is that really what was taking place? So what does it mean for Jesus to actually empty himself? You see, I believe that Jesus had to learn, just like you and I. He went to school. He went to rabbinical school. He had to memorize Scripture, just like you and I have to memorize Scripture. There were no shortcuts with Jesus. I think for those of you who have watched Matrix, Neo is the one, and he hasn't yet realized it. And for him to learn certain disciplines, he doesn't have to learn them. They just actually plug a program into him and download the new software into his brain. So learn how to learn a martial art. Well, just download it. And I think we have this idea that Jesus learned the same way. That somehow God just downloaded that. He didn't really have to learn the way you and I learn. He didn't really have to depend on the Father the way you and I depend on the Father. And he didn't really need to pray because he was always in communion with the Father. I think that's subtly our belief. But Scripture seems to communicate something different. Scripture, Hebrews 5, says that Jesus learned obedience through what he suffered, just like you and I. Luke 2:52 says, Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. I like how David Brenner says it. You see, Jesus doesn't teach us how to be divine as much as he's trying to teach us how to be truly human. He came to teach us how to be good. He restored us to be good. You see, I think if we put more emphasis on Jesus' divinity during his earthly ministry, yes, he is divine now, he is sitting at the right hand of the Father, but during his earthly ministry, if we put more emphasis on his divinity, then actually living out our faith and being like Jesus is actually unattainable. Because somehow he had greater ability and greater gifts than we are ever able to attain. See, I believe that Jesus can be followed, and we can learn to live and to walk the way he walked. So here's the thought. Jesus, Mark 1:35 says, in the morning, while it was still very dark, Jesus got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. So did Jesus really need to practice silence and solitude? Well, he's the Son of God. Why would he need to do that? He's already in. Isn't he always in direct communication with the Father? He's the Son of God. He would never lose that, would he? Why did he wake up early and go pray? Because Scripture says that he was, in every instance, he was so depleted. He had just fed the 5,000. Everybody wanted a piece of Jesus. And in those moments, he would say to the disciples, we need to get away. We need to find a place of silence and solitude. And not just for the disciples. Oftentimes, Scripture says that Jesus, by himself, went to a deserted place to pray. Why? Because the same thing that goes on for you and I, that when we're depleted and empty, that we've caught the virus of the hurry disease, and we are spread out like butter on toast, we feel like we're just zapped, that we actually need to regain connection with God just like Jesus needed to regain connection with his Heavenly Father. Otherwise, what's he doing? Is he just pretending? Okay, I'm going to pretend, Father, that I really need you and I really need to pray and reconnect with you because this will benefit the disciples. That way they can kind of see the importance of it for themselves, but we don't really need that. No, I don't think Jesus was faking anybody. This wasn't a spin. Jesus needed to reconnect with the Father just like you and I need to reconnect with the Heavenly Father. I'm convinced all the more these days that we need silence and solitude. Anxiety, symptoms of anxiety, fear is ramping up in our culture. And the more and more I talk to people, they come and they, even yesterday at the wedding, people are sharing their week with me and they're just saying, man, I just feel so pulled in all kinds of directions. I just feel like I'm zapped. I'm fragmented. My mind is going everywhere. And how much more we need to come away and to pursue silence and solitude more now than ever. You know, Jesus gave this parable of the seed being scattered on the path. And one of the illustrations he gives is that the thorns and thistles begin to choke out the plant, the fruit, from coming up and from bearing fruit. And I wonder how many of us, myself included, that the thorns and thistles of everyday life can just choke out the Word of God in my life. I think all of us are so prone to this. Henry Nouwen says this about solitude. He said, solitude is the one place where we can gain freedom from the forces of society that relentlessly knead us and relentlessly mold us. Hurry sickness. I wonder how many of us are suffering from hurry sickness. Interesting that Jesus woke up early and went to a solitary place to be with his heavenly Father. So how do you define hurry sickness? Yeah, so much to do, you don't have time to spend with God. Yeah, and you don't have time to spend with people you love, people, right? I mean, it's, yeah. Hey? 20 top priorities. How many like to-do lists? You like actually writing out to-do lists? I'm a to-do list guy. Start of the week, I have to-do lists. I like checking off things off my to-do list, right? Hurry sickness, yeah. Hey? Hiding. Hiding from the hard pieces that you haven't dealt with. Yeah, Eugene Peterson says this about busyness. He says, busyness is the enemy of spirituality. It is essentially laziness. It is doing the lazy thing, hiding, like Jim is saying, instead of the hard thing. It's filling our time with our own actions instead of paying attention to God's actions. Whoa. Anybody else? How do you define hurry sickness? To even in the midst of the busyness, to be able to press the pause button.
Yeah. And see what he's doing.
Yeah. There's a spiritual practice for some of us. We to chisel out 30 minutes is tough, but for us to chisel out 3 10-minute blocks during our day and just pause for 10 minutes, for some of us, that actually, we need that. For some of us, it's actually more our lifeline than we think it is. I think for many of us, myself included, it's there's this spiritual muscle that has never been activated, and we've gone along in our faith for long enough, and we really didn't need it, but now going through what we're going through, or maybe the age that we're going through, that we're in, or the season of life that we're in, we need now to activate that muscle more now than ever before. You know, Ignatian spirituality, there's a number of Ignatian practices. How many can, those of you who have spiritual practices, what kind of things are important to you? Just call them out. Okay?
Silence.
Okay, so Ignatius, he would call these things disciplines or exercises. I like the idea of to see these things as exercises. And so what other spiritual exercises other than silence or solitude? Anybody else?
Reflection.
So quiet, reflecting on your day, reflecting on a situation, a conversation. Again, slowing everything down. Jesus, where were you in that conversation? Where were you in that? And Ignatius calls that examine. At the end of the day, I like it to playing a PVR. So PVR your day. At the end of the day, with the Holy Spirit's help, you PVR, you kind of go through your day, and you allow Him to press the pause button. See, I was here. I was loving you through this conversation. I was with you in this situation. I was present. I was near. Okay, carry on. And so it forces us to slow down and reflect on our day. Not just the sin of our day. I think we go there way too soon. I go there way too soon. It's actually begin with the love of God, pan through your day. Lord, where were you loving me today? Once we get that straight, okay, where might have I failed today or missed the mark and allow him to put his finger on something. When we're actually well-grounded in the love of God, then we can begin to look at our sin, and it's no longer condemning. So examine is a good reflection. Examine is really good. Anybody else? Okay, journaling your prayers. Yeah. What about us who want to be productive? That doesn't sound very productive because you're not really praying for the whole world because you have to write everything down. It slows you down, doesn't it? Yeah, I love it. I love it too. And for somebody who, I think we can think, well, my prayer, I need to spend an hour in prayer, I need to pray. No, but actually writing it down, it actually allows us to slow down and to maybe listen better to the Father and pray His heart rather than just, yeah, good. What else? What other spiritual practices? So if God, you acknowledge that God... Yeah, so something, evidence of God's goodness in your day, and pause and say thank you. Yeah.
I find I need to listen to some good worship every day. Hmm. Like, dude, even a couple of good songs of worship, something that's got a heart for God. The Bible says God inhabits the praise of His people, and sometimes I turn on my computer, I hear worship, and I just feel and sense the presence of God. I'm like, I need that.
Yeah, God inhabits the praises of His people, and so just taking that time and just worship, right? Regardless of my circumstances, regardless of how I'm feeling or not feeling, I need to direct my praise to the Father. Yeah. Yeah. What else? Imaginative contemplation. Is that very similar to... the word slips my mind right now. Is that with Scripture? Is that in prayer? Is that both? Is that...
It can be with Scripture. Ignatius also had about 150 different kind of scenarios that you would imagine yourself in, and then after imagining, you would review that and notice what you experienced. Mm-hmm.
So paying attention to your desires and longings, what did that evoke in me? And then talking to Jesus about it. Wow, that... Yeah. So I find it funny, you know, that we... Many of us, you know, we have this practice of reading the Bible. Okay, so I want to be disciplined. I'm reading through the Bible chronologically right now. So I'm in 2 Kings. And so I read 2 Kings. And imagine, so I'm reading. And then Jesus is in me. And He taps me on the shoulder and He says, Darce. And I'm like, don't bother me right now, Jesus. I'm reading Your Word. I think that's often how we do it. This is a conversation, and without the Holy Spirit, this actually can just be an empty, dry book. So actually to invite Him in to read a passage, and it's not like burn through, I'm going to read as much as I can. Read until, and then pause. What emotion did that verse evoke in me? Yeah. Yeah, there's many examples, and I don't have time to kind of explain all of them, but this is just to invite Jesus into the conversation. Be aware of your desires and longings, imagining yourself in the story, seeing yourself in the different characters. I mean, it's just, but to invite Jesus into that process. So I want you to begin to understand prayer and these exercises as exercises. So I need two volunteers. I need somebody who works out on a regular basis to come up here and give me 20 push-ups. Anybody, any volunteers? Come on, Luke. Joel? Bang off 20. Can you do a clap push-up for us?
No, my hand doesn't work.
Okay. Look at that. See, you can tell this guy spends time in the gym, right? So my guess with Joel, that's 20. So Joel, thank you. Oh, awesome. So you work out.
Yeah,
you spend some time in the gym. Are you going to be sore tomorrow?
No.
No, that didn't even begin to tap you out, right? Yeah. So, yeah, this is an exercise his body is used to, right? He's familiar with that exercise. If that was the only exercise you ever did, sure, you'd be amazing at it. Would you be a well-balanced body?
No.
So you don't just do push-ups when you work out? Oh, you do other exercises? Really? So you're not one of these guys. I used to be in the gym, and the guys would always do chest and arms.
Yeah.
And they looked awesome in a tank shirt,
yeah.
But then they wore shorts in the summer, and they had chicken legs. And you're like, I know what exercise you're missing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you need
have to do it all.
You have to do it all. Yeah. Awesome. Do we want a volunteer who never does push-ups to come up and try to give me 20? It's going to be a little different. So imagine yourself never having done a push-up to come up here and try to give me 20. How are you going to feel tomorrow? Ow. You're going to feel muscles that you have never felt or haven't felt for a good long time. Joel will not feel sore at all tomorrow, but you will have a hard time getting the milk from the fridge, right? You're going to feel it. So I want you to now imagine a spiritual exercise. Some of us, I don't want to put this down, but some of us, this has been our spiritual exercise for our whole life. And it's good. It's a great starting point. But if this is our only diet, I'm afraid you're going to be a little bit like the guy at the gym or the girl at the gym just working on one exercise for their whole life. Right? This is a great starting point, but when you go through crisis in your life, there's all of a sudden you're going to go, oh man, I've got some undeveloped spiritual muscles that I need to activate that maybe I've never activated. So the invitation is for us to listen to our spiritual lives and to discern, where am I weak, Lord? What new exercise maybe are you inviting me to explore? Are there spiritual muscles that have experienced atrophy that I need to develop that you're inviting me to? For me, that metaphor works for me. I get it. It makes sense to me. And I think it fits very well. So we're going to do a little practice this morning. You've heard me said before that in the church, the primary focus is orthodoxy, and we need more orthopraxy in the church. So we're going to do some practice today. So what we're going to do is we're going to pray through the Lord's Prayer, and we're going to have a part of the Lord's Prayer on the screen. Maybe the boys can put that up. And so this is going to be my encouragement. This is This is a chance for us to pray, to stand to our feet, to sit, to kneel, whatever works for you. But my encouragement is to actually pray out loud. It doesn't have to be yelling. It can just be a nice quiet whisper that you're actually verbalizing prayers to God around the theme that we have on the screen. You're going to be tempted to deviate, but my encouragement is actually stay on task. It's a little bit like going to the gym and having a personal trainer today. And some of you already, there's stuff evoked in you. You're feeling like, oh, crap, I'm not into this. How many of you have ever felt that way going to the gym in the morning? But you still go, right? And you actually finish the workout and you feel pretty good. Boy, am I glad I did that. So regardless of how this might make us feel, this is still actually really good. This is now introducing, perhaps, a different exercise into your repertoire, and my trust is that you're going to experience something more of Jesus. Jesus is going to speak to you today. That as you pray, God's going to be pouring into you. And so that's my prayer as we dive in, that we would engage with our Heavenly Father and experience Him in some new ways. So I'm gonna pray. Maybe what we could do is we could pray the statement out loud, and then what I'm gonna do is, I'll guide you through this process. All right. So Heavenly Father, we want to engage with you, and we thank you that we can call you our Heavenly Father. So as we pray, as we develop this new exercise, corporate prayer, I pray, Heavenly Father, we trust that you'll be here, Holy Spirit, leading us and speaking to us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence. In Jesus' name. So you can pray with me. You can just listen. But the first prayer is, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. So can I have a few of you just stand up and declare a word of praise to God? This could be just a popcorn prayer. Jesus, I love you. You're amazing. Thank you for your faithfulness. That's the kind of thing I'm looking for right now. So let's just spend some time focusing on God's hallowed name. Thank you that you're a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Catherine's going to come up and lead us in a few songs. So these songs are new to you. My encouragement is just listen, follow the words on the screen, allow that to evoke your own response to the Father. And as it becomes more familiar, they're quite easy songs to learn, but just engage as you feel comfortable and as you're being led.